Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
A large part of the Bible is made up of guided journeys. Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 is spoken to by God, and God sends Abraham on a journey. He says, "Go to a land that I will show you." And Abraham went, guided by the word of God, and he became the father of a new nation. That nation, Israel, was guided by God when they traveled from Egypt to the promised land through the wilderness. There, God guided them on their journey with a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And it was on that journey that they received further guidance from God in how to live in relationship with Him and how to live in relationship with one another when God gave them His law, including the Ten Commandments. And these past weeks, we have been reading from the Gospels about the early life of Jesus. And several journeys are a part of that life. We read about how his parents, Mary and Joseph, journeyed from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. And then how they journeyed from Bethlehem to Egypt in order to get away from King Herod, who wanted to kill Jesus. And then how they were guided on a journey from Egypt back to Nazareth, where Jesus grew up and became a young man. And all of that guidance, as we read the biblical story, occurred through angels sent by God to show this young family where to go and why they were to go to those places. And this morning, we're going to read another story of a guided journey. This time, a journey that some wise men make from their home east, somewhere in the far east, to Bethlehem to see the newborn king, the Jews. And I invite you to join with me in the second chapter of Matthew. I will be reading the first 12 verses there. You can find the passage printed in your bulletin this morning, and also it will be up here on our screens. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time that the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Have you ever wondered why the wise men went on this journey? Somehow, these wise men from eastern lands had discovered a new star, something new in the heavens, which they probably studied on a regular basis. And also, in a way that we do not know, they came to believe that that star signaled the birth of a king, specifically a king of the Jewish people. Now, I imagine, Scripture doesn't say, but I imagine that there were more scholars in that far eastern land who had discovered that star and who knew what it meant than simply the wise men that actually went on the journey. I imagine something like this happening in their home country, that a whole bunch of scholars kind of discovered this star at the same time and discovered its meaning, and they got together like scholars do and had a scientific conference. They called it the Star Conference or something, and they talked about it. Did you see the star? Yeah, I saw that. What do you think it means? Well, I think it means this, or I have some friends who belong to the Jewish faith, and it talks about a star in their Old Testament and in their biblical books. And you know, whatever it was that brought this understanding to them, I imagine that many, many more scholars were aware of this than just this group who actually traveled. But why take the journey? Why not just simply go, wow, that's amazing. We discovered something new and we think we understand what it means. Why go on the journey? What motivated them to want to not just know about this one who was born King of the Jews, not only to be aware of this star that had appeared announcing his birth, but they actually wanted to go to find him, that they wanted to see him in person, that they wanted to be with him, and they wanted to worship and honor him as a king, bringing the gifts with them that were appropriate to present to one such as this. Well, Scripture doesn't tell us what motivated them, but something must have, for some of them went. Although I think many more stayed behind and even wondered, why would you want to go on a 1,000-mile journey to the land of the Jews just to see this person? I mean, okay, he's the king of the Jews, but the Jews have had many kings over the years and they'll have many more. And other lands have kings and we don't travel, you know, 1,000 miles to go visit them. Why are you going? They went. You and I have chosen to go on a journey of faith with God. And we can ask ourselves the same question: what has motivated us to go on that journey? What motivates us to desire to get to know this one born the King of the Jews, to get to know him better, not just know about him, not just to learn some things that are true of him that have been taught us or told us or that we have somehow discovered that has been explained to us by someone, but that we actually want to go and be with him, that we desire to worship him, and that we are willing to give him gifts, not material gifts like these wise men did, but the gift of our lives, which is what Scripture declares to be that true and honest gift that shows true worship of God. That we are willing to say, my life, which you have created, which you have brought about, belongs to you. And I seek to learn from you how you would have me live. We give the gift of ourselves. What motivates us to do that? You know, there are many, many people in the world who know the story of Jesus. They become more familiar with it if they paid any attention these last few weeks, as once again Christians around the world have told the story of Christmas, the birth of Jesus. And yet many people just simply stay home, like many, I believe, that those scholars did back in the day. And isn't it interesting that when the wise men come to Jerusalem, and remember, they come as people with a great desire in their heart to find this King of the Jews, but they knew very little about him. Clearly, they went to Jerusalem. He wasn't in Jerusalem, but it's a good place to start. And so they asked the question, expressing the only thing they knew: there is a King of the Jews who's been born. Where is he? Great desire, but little knowledge. Now, the religious leaders in Jerusalem had great knowledge. They knew many, many things about the one to be born King of the Jews, including specifically where he would be born. He's supposed to be born in Bethlehem, which is only about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. The wise men were willing to travel 1,000 miles looking for this King of the Jews, and now they were willing to go another 6. They had great desire, although not much knowledge. But those religious leaders who had much knowledge had no desire. They wouldn't even travel the 6 miles to go see whether a King of the Jews had actually been born. They stayed in Jerusalem. Let someone else go, and you can let us know what you find. And isn't that the way it is for so many people in the world today? Let other people take the journey of faith. Let other people discover whether this story about Jesus has any credibility. For me, I'm just going to live my own life and do my own thing. But for those of us who've not only heard the story, who, if you will, have seen the star through perhaps a parent or a Sunday school teacher or a youth worker who shared the story with us, perhaps when we were children, we began reading our Bibles. Perhaps it was a children's Bible with pictures in it. But we began to learn the story. We began to recognize the star, and we said at some point, I want to go on a journey of faith. I want to know this one better. I feel a desire to worship him. I want my life to mean something, and he can give me meaning. And he can give me purpose. What drew you and me? Well, in a large sense, I think it's exactly the same thing that drew the wise men. Jesus was having a conversation with a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a teacher in Israel. We read the story in the 3rd chapter of John. And he says, Nicodemus, if you really want to know your God, if you want to be a part of his kingdom, you need to be born again, Nicodemus. You need to start out on a new journey of not just knowledge, but a journey of relationship, of discovering this God that you know about from the scriptures, but whom you do not truly yet know. Nicodemus, you need to have a desire to be a part of this new thing. And the only thing that will lead you there, that will take you there, that will bring you on this journey, Jesus says, is the Holy Spirit. You must be born again of the Spirit. And so while all of us have different kinds of experiences, different ways of seeing that star, as it were, different ways of going on our journey, all of us have been brought onto this journey by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God who introduces us and who reveals to us that there's a God out there who desires for us to know him and to be with him, that we may worship him, and that we may know how to live our lives in a way that honors him and gives him glory. And so we have chosen to go on that journey, born into it by the Holy Spirit. And it's a journey that some of us have been a part of for a long time, and others are fairly new to the journey. But like the wise men, we are being guided by the light of God. For them, that light took the form of a star that guided them. And when they saw that it had guided them to Bethlehem, to the actual home, to the actual child, they rejoiced. And you and I today rejoice because God gives us His light. He shares His light of guidance with us, not in the form of a star, but in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, in the form of His Word, in the form of other Christians who, like us, are journeying and who can help us and who can teach us and who can encourage us. Jesus Christ is the primary way in which God shines His light in the world that guides us to Himself as our Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ, His Son, come into the world, whose birth we have just celebrated. He is the light of the world. That is the witness of Scripture. The Bible is a light unto our path and a light unto our feet, says the psalmist. It is by God's Word, as we can read it daily, as we can study it, as we can meditate on it, that we are guided in our journey. And we're guided in our journey with Christ. And as we gather together as the people of God in worship and in Bible studies and private conversations, we lift each other up and we shine the light of Christ for one another. Scripture says that we are like light shining in the world. We are reflecting the light of Christ to one another, kind of like the moon reflecting the light of the sun. And so we are for one another, those who God uses to encourage and to guide us along the way. God has given us His light, and it is by His light that we travel this journey, not just in our own strength, our own wisdom, our own understanding, but He shows us the way to go. As He did with many in Scripture in biblical times, so He does today for us in our time. And we are on a journey. We are on a journey now into a new year, 2021. We have had a lot of difficult times in the past year, but God was with us. God was guiding us. We looked at Jesus, and we talked about how Jesus dealt with difficult things in His time, and we were encouraged by Him. We looked at Scripture, at Old Testament stories, and how the people, for example, in Exodus, during that journey on which they were guided by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, we looked at how they dealt with struggle and with difficulty and with hard times, with things that were new to them, things that were unexpected, things they did not know how to deal with, and yet they were guided through it by a loving Father. We have gathered together. We have not been able to meet in the way that we were used to for most of this past year, but we have still found ways to be with each other, whether in person, through things like live stream, or in other ways we have been communicating with each other. And we have helped each other, and we have been a guidance to each other in the difficult times of this past year. And as we enter a new year, we don't enter it with blinders. We know that there's still hard times ahead. We know that the virus has not yet been defeated. We know that there's still going to be struggles in other areas of life. The world has been struggling ever since Adam and Eve said no to God and said yes to their own selfish desires. We still do that today. We still get ourselves in all kind of trouble. But God is with us, and He loves us. And He says, I have given you my light to guide you through these times, joyous times as well as struggling times. Will you stay with me in this new year? And will you be guided by my Son, by my Word, by the fellowship of believers? Will you trust me when I say that I am with you? It is God who says through his prophet Isaiah, fear not, for I am your God. Be not dismayed, for I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will hold you up with my strong right arm. God didn't just say that to mean it at a one-time occurrence back in the day of Isaiah. It is a word that is true for us today. As Jesus said to his disciples shortly before he left them, he says, I am with you to the end of the age. As we enter a new year, God is with us. His Son, Jesus Christ, is with us. His Holy Spirit draws us into and through this journey. And all along the way, the light of God is guiding us. Let us be attentive to that light. Let us focus on it. Let it allow us to know where God wants us to go and how God wants us to go. He does not leave us to our own devices and to our own wisdom, but he says, I am here to give you all that you need as you go on your journey. And so as we journey, whether individually or corporately, as a congregation, as the body of Christ, we are guided by the light of God on our journey, that we may know Christ, that we may become like Christ, and that we may share Christ with others. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this journey of the wise men, one more among many amazing journeys in the Bible, but all of them have the common element of being guided by you. Not people just going off randomly and hoping that they'll have good luck or good fate or something, that things will work out. But journeys that are initiated by you, journeys that are guarded and guided by you, and journeys that have a culmination, a promised land, a promised people, a promised relationship. And Heavenly Father, we who are on this journey of faith have the promise of an eternal life with you in heaven. Father, guide us as we travel the journey again in this coming year. Be with us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We seek to learn from his example. We seek to once again hear his teaching, to see his life, to recognize that humility and even sacrifice and dying to ourselves are ways in which others are lifted up. And you ultimately, Heavenly Father, are honored. Guide us this year by your word. May our understanding deepen, and may our appreciation for the very practical way in which it guides us be with us, and may we learn from it this year. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for our fellow sisters and brothers in Christ. We look forward to the day that we can be together without restriction, without limit. But even in the meantime, we're grateful for how you've guided us to be together in the ways that we are, whether in person or whether by other ways of communication. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for guiding us in all these ways in the past year, difficult as it has been. And we know you will continue to guide us in our journey this year. Indeed, may we come better to know Christ, to become like him, and to share him with others, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.